And Russian President Vladimir Putin urges Washington to recognize Moscow's interests and persuade the Ukrainians to sit down for talks. On Wall Street this morning, stocks so far have been mixed. Right now, the Dow is down about 59 points, with the Nasdaq trading 109 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE. For Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the 11th commandment. In case you've never heard it called that, it's the fragment of a verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, lest you should be judged. Most everybody, when they're confronted with sin or with a fault or with a faulty theology, that's the quip that you generally hear. Ladies and gentlemen, in Acts chapter 15, and I urge you to read that in your leisure, the Apostle Paul confronted Peter publicly for his being a hypocrite. Did that make Paul a judgmental person, a hateful person? Did that make him one that somehow, some way, was at odds with what God's Word says? By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you have any questions about the issue that we're speaking about today? If you had someone to call you a hypocrite or some way challenge you, chide you, because you've corrected their doctrine, their theology, or you've confronted them benevolently, lovingly about the sin in their lives? Listen, Dr. Davis, I've used an illustration with this quite some time. Let's say that you get on an airplane here in Jacksonville, Jumbo 737, 777, and it's 200 people on it, 250 people, and the pilot is going to be flying you to Seattle, Washington. And the pilot makes an error in his flight planning, and rather than winding up in Seattle, Washington, he winds up in someplace in Mexico. The NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, will call a meeting. They will meet with that pilot. They will talk with him. They will interview him. They will investigate what happened and why it happened. And they will may suspend his license, may give him 3 to 6 months that he can't get back in the cockpit until he's trained. Now, did they do that because they hate him? Did they do that because somehow, some way it was judgmental? No, they did that for his safety and the safety of others, that he would be flying across the nation.
Amen.
That is not being judgmental. That is the practice that must be done. It's loving when a parent chastens a child. It's loving when a parent corrects an errant child. It's loving when we as Christians confront other Christians, other brethren, and correct them. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear that the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Christians at Corinth, says, don't you realize that you're going to judge the angels?
That's right. Amen.
The scripture also says, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not our responsibility to judge those outside of the faith, but it's our responsibility to judge those in the faith, those in the household of faith. It is our responsibility to do so. So what is the scripture saying to us in Matthew 7, verse 1 and following? Judge not, lest ye should be judged. Does this text say that Christians ought not to confront or to correct an erring brother? No, it's not what it's saying. Does this scripture teach that we're not to deal with morals, ethics, and values that are contrary to the scripture? That's not what it's saying. So what is this scripture telling us? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the scripture is saying, what it is not saying. I'm looking at one writer that says, he is calling us to refuse to judge others. This is he, Jesus, calling us to refuse to judge others until we have first judged ourselves, this writer says. And it further states, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not the judge of those inside? God will judge those on the outside. Then it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 5, 11 through 13, expel the wicked man from among you.
Amen.
Now, that's because of love.
Goes back to what I said.
Goes back to exactly what you
Amen.
Said. I believe we have Stephen on the line. Stephen, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
Can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. So my question, my issue is my son living with his girlfriend. And so when he comes over to the house, originally after moving in, you know, he thought that they could sleep together at my house. And I said, absolutely not. And they said, well, we live together. And I said, well, that's your choice. But you know where I stand. And, you know, I don't think you should be living together until you get married. So it doesn't happen at my house. So my question to you is then, am I, as in the Alistair Begg debate there, am I accepting his lifestyle if I go visit him at his house where he chooses to live with his girlfriend if I'm in the area and I stop in to see him? I mean, is that advocating his lifestyle?
You've asked a very, very profound question, and you've asked it in the right sense and the right order, and I am thankful for your question. And my answer to that is, maybe it's too simplistic, but my answer is that from a Christian perspective, and you've taken the right stand, you can't come into my house and you'll sleep together. You're unmarried. This is the reason the scripture talks about marriage being holy matrimony, that a man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. The sexual act is the consummation of a marriage. And the holy matrimony is God's idea, not man's. So it cannot be on the basis that you say, well, I'm just going to live with this person and count her or him as my wife or husband. So you've said, you've taken the right position, just as was said with Alistair Begg. He should have said, let me go back and state it this way. He should have said, your grandson knows that you love him. Your grandson knows your position of loving Jesus. Your grandson knows that you adhere to and embrace what the scripture says. He knows where you stand, and so therefore you cannot participate in the wedding. You cannot go and celebrate. You cannot say, go and hug and embrace. That is indicative of a celebration of an agreement with the lifestyle. You shouldn't even buy him a gift. Now, that's not what Alistair Begg said. And so your question is a little more simplistic even than that. You're saying, can I just drop by and see him, visit him at his home where he's living with a woman that's not his wife? You should say, son, I love you. I'll pray for you. I cannot participate in your lifestyle. And if I come and drop by and visit you as a, quote, family man in your home or in your house where you're living with a woman that's not your wife, if I do that, son, what I'm doing is I'm celebrating your lifestyle. I'm embracing that lifestyle. Now, that's not a popular thing to say. And from a pastor standpoint, for example, most pastors avoid Christian counseling because most people come to a pastor for counseling because they want to find a preacher that's going to affirm what they're doing. Had a family in our church a number of years ago that wanted to have a meeting. We talked, and the whole problem was they had almost identical to your scenario. They had a daughter that was living with another woman and a lesbian lifestyle, and wondered if she could bring her lover over to their house and spend time with them. And the couple that I was talking with, the parents, wondered, how should I respond? I said, say, honey, I love you. You can come visit me whenever you want to. Your, quote, bedmate, your lover, your girlfriend that you're all about to get married cannot come into my house. We're not going to celebrate. We're not going to prove. We're not going to embrace your lifestyle. Now, the couple that I was talking with, both Christians, and was in full agreement. They hadn't come back to the church since. There's a mindset that we want to hear the truth, but we really don't want you to be honest about what the Bible says and what we should do. We should shun all appearance of evil, the scripture says. We should understand that our life is being the signal, if you will, to the world. And that son that you're talking about, he's going to look at it on the basis, well, I thought Dad was against this. I thought Dad was a Christian and wasn't going to embrace this. But he's really not going to kick me out. He's really not going to shun me. He's really going to come to my standard. This is the reason the scripture says, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing of the mind comes from the word. And I really believe, Stephen, and we'll pray for you for that. I really believe that if you take the stand that's biblical and let him know, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, but I cannot embrace, cannot celebrate, cannot in any way participate in what you're doing, but I want you to know I love you. I believe that will resonate with him, whether it's now or in the future, that it could change the trajectory of his life, could change his attitude, and cause him to do something that pleases God. Now, my prayer is that you'll take that stand, but not because I say so, but because you want to please God and reach him, that it might change his life. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Well, brother, we will pray for you that God will give you wisdom to handle that, that will be appropriate and pleasing to him in his word. You see, Stephen, what's happening in our world today, we have so watered down truth, we've so watered down morals and ethics and values, that most churches, most pastors even, most Christians go by the world standard rather than the word standard. And that's what we need to understand. And by the way, in clarity for your benefit and others listening, this text in Matthew 7, there's five verses, judge not lest you should be judged. I'm going to paraphrase the balance, because however you judge is the way you're going to be judged. The balance of the scripture says, how can you judge someone else when you've got sin in your own life? Get the mote out of your eyes. Get the 2x4, the speck it's called, the toothpick out of your eye. Once you've taken sin out of your life, for example, how can an alcoholic say to a son, you ought not to drink? I mean, it's an oxymoron almost. So what the scripture is saying in that text is, get that sin out of your life. For example, if you have one that's an alcoholic and you say, Dad, you're an alcoholic, you shouldn't drink. But you go look in your refrigerator and you've got a rack full of Bud Dummer and Miller Lowlife in your refrigerator, then what you're doing, you're judging him with that same sin in your life, and God said you're going to be judged the same way. So God's word is saying, with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives in his teaching, he's saying to that person, if you have sin in your life, and you're trying to correct that same sin in someone else's life, then you're a hypocrite. Thou hypocrite, he says. So that's the truth of that unit of thought, chapter 7, Matthew verses 1 through 5. So Stephen, brother, thank you so much for your call. Our prayer is that you will have God's wisdom in making choices and decisions that pleases him and that could reach your son. Thank you for your call.
All right, thank
Ladies,
you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, what are your thoughts in relationship to our conversation with our caller?
Well, basically, Dr. Youngblood, what I would do myself, being that that's a family member and different things like that, you know, sometimes we get caught up in our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and I'll go back to what I said earlier. We cannot let our feelings rule and govern our lives. That's where the Word of God is intended to be applied. The Word of God must have the supreme rule in every area of every Christian's life. Because it is the Word of God, because it is the will of God, and because this is how God looks at us, He looks at us through His Word.
That's right.
And when He judges our lives, He judges it through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
But even if I did have to pay a visit, and because it's our sons and our daughters, certainly, you know, we love them. And we don't want to be cut off from them. You know, we certainly want to make sure that we always keep that family tie, you know, that mm-hmm. close contact. But even if I did had to be confronted with that situation, every time I went by, I would voice my disapproval at what he's doing based upon the Word of God, not my own feelings,
mm-hmm.
but because I want to win him over and hopefully one day have him to become a Christian.
Amen.
I would always use the Word of God as the standard by which I'm letting him know why I disapprove.
Yes. One of the things too, Pastor, and you touched on it, there are many today in that son's same position that say they're saved, but they can live that lifestyle. And so therefore it makes it even more incumbent on the parent to simply say, I'm not going to go the way of the world. I'm not going to be swayed by the world. I'm going to stick to what the Word says. I'm going to stick to what the Word says. And by the way, for our listeners, the directive that's found, I call it the prohibition in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 7, Matthew, the prohibition. First of all, there's the directive. It says, judge not. So what's Jesus saying in that? We must understand there are three words, ladies and gentlemen, in the Greek text, which is where we get our English New Testament today, from the Greek text. Three words that has the word judge. One, and you don't have to remember the Greek text. I'm simply using this as an academic, boiling it down so that everybody could understand it. The first word is krino, K-R-I-N-O, in the Greek text. That word means critic. It means to select. It means to choose. It means to determine. It means to censure. It means to criticize. It means to condemn. And you find that in Matthew 7:1, James 2:12, John 12:48, Romans 2:27, Hebrews 12:23, the number of places. And then it's A-N-A-K-R-I-N-O, anakro, which means to examine, to question, to investigate. Found in 1 Corinthians 4:1-4, 1 Corinthians 14:24, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. Then there's the third Greek word that's found for the same word, judge. Di, that's D-I-A, krino, means to discern, to discriminate, to decide. And that's the word that's here. We need to discern, to determine, decide. Jesus is saying that a believer is not to examine, discern, and investigate or question. The directive is that the believer is not to pass final judgment and it be condemnation. Only God can do that final judging and the condemnation. There's a danger there that ye be not judged. Jesus says in that text, ladies and gentlemen, don't you pass final judgment or condemnation to go to hell on someone else. Remember, we stand before God. Be careful for the motive. Pastor, you touched on that. Be careful for the motive when judging.
Amen.
How is your life? How is the sin in your life? Calling sin, sin is what we're to do, according to Ephesians 4:15. The determination is found in that second verse of chapter 7, Matthew. It's a little word for us, gar, because God will judge you for your disobedience to his word, is what he's saying. That word to mean a meaning to examine or to question or discern is what we're supposed to do. You find that word, you touched on it, Pastor. Discerning, examining, is over and over and over in what we call the church discipline text. And the purpose is to discern, to direct, and to try to change a person's way of life.
Amen.
than Jesus, I find it fascinating, Pastor, and we must touch on this. Jesus uses two very clear illustrations. The challenge is, why beholdest? That means to look, to stare, to look in directly or to intensely at the splinter. He calls it the mote, the splinter, the speck, the toothpick, the sawdust in thy brother's eye. But can't consider it not, or you don't recognize, you don't appreciate, you don't apprehend that same sin that's in your life. And again, I use it over and over because there's so many people that say you shouldn't go out and get drunk, but they've got alcoholic beverages in their own refrigerator. That is absolutely what Jesus is talking about here. So therefore, a person, if you use it in a clear understanding, if you're going to say, Alistair Begg, you are mistaken, that is incorrect. But yet, if that is also the way you interpret Scripture, if that's the way you handle the Scripture, then you're wrong in trying to ascertain what he's doing and calling it wrong.
Amen. Amen.
It needs to be on the basis that, if you put it, how would you say, in the Youngblood vernacular, it needs to be so that you make sure that you're right before God, and as the old-timers used to call it, that you're confessed up with your sins.
That's right.
Before
Amen.
You try to point that out in somebody else's life.
Amen.
The difficulty is, Jesus says, how can you try to condemn, how can you censure, how can you correct, how can you judge your brother when you have such a visible problem yourself? Then the final thing is in the fifth verse, thou hypocrite. So ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest you should be judged, is a fragment of verse 1. The unit of thought is verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And the Lord Jesus is teaching that he's not teaching that you can't judge or that you shouldn't judge, but to make sure that if you're calling sin, sin in someone else's life, that you're right before God and that sin is not in your life. He says, if you do otherwise, you are a hypocrite because you're calling sin, sin, and living a sinful life yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Davis, how do you respond, and what would you think that our listeners need to understand further?
Well, basically, again, Dr. Youngblood, we have to make sure we hold on to the right thing, which is the Word of God, because here, I was reading in the book of St. John, chapter 9, and I'm just going to do, I think, two verses here for the sake of time, because this is the point. St. John, chapter 9, and this is verse 21 and 22. Yeah, okay. And again, let's make sure we understand. Mm-hmm. We're talking about making sure that we make the right judgment call, not based on respect of persons.
That's right.
This is what the Lord say in the case of when Jesus had healed the sight of a blind man. Verse 21. This is what the parents said. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. And verse 22, this is the main point. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Mm-hmm. That's the point. These people feared the Jews or men more than they feared God. So they decided to take a neutral stand. Mm-hmm. We can't do that, Dr. Youngblood.
No, no.
We can't. I mean, now listen, they were talking about their son mm-hmm. in this particular case. And the caller a while ago called and he was talking about his son.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take a neutral stand when it comes down to our allegiance with God.
That's right.
Either you're for God or you're against him.
Okay, right.
And again, listen, there was an old man I used to love back in life that I used to work with a long time ago at the paper mill, about 20-something years ago. And when we got ready to go to him for certain things, advice, and he was telling us ways, you know, a man should handle things. After he get through telling you what he had to say, he says, son, it's hard, but it's fair. Mm-hmm. You had a good home, but you left it.
That's right.
Okay, this may seem hard, but it is fair, mm-hmm. based upon the Word of God. Now, we understand when our children leave our homes, mm-hmm. we can't make a call. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? We can't tell them what to do. mm-hmm. once they get out of our, you know, from under our roof, mm-hmm. because we're no longer taking care of them.
Right.
But we never lose our love and concern and connection with them.
And the example that we set.
Amen. And each time, again, we have to be confronted with visiting or seeing them, always put it on the table and let them know, listen, I love you. But based upon the word of God, you need to get it right.
Right.
I mean, I'm just going to just wrap it up in a clean, mm-hmm. a nice little package just like mm-hmm. that. Because many Christian parents today are living in error mm-hmm. because they refuse to confront the matter based on respect of persons.
That's right.
And listen, again, I say, you know, I know this can be a tender issue because of our feelings.
Yes.
But again, don't let your feelings cause you to be perverted in your judgment when it comes down to matters like this.
I believe God will honor our decision to honor him and not embrace the sin.
Amen.
I'm looking at a magnificent article that in part says, this is what the article says on this subject. Do not judge others until you are prepared to be judged by the same standard. And then, when you exercise judgment toward others, it is done in humility. When Jesus says, judge not lest you should be judged, he was not issuing a blanket rule that people are never to judge at all. Why worry about, he says, and why worry, this man paraphrased, why worry about the speck in your friend's eyes when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to a friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eyes, when you can't see past the log in your own eyes? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The thing. And Amen. Jesus goes on to say, verse 5, and I repeat that, and then thou shalt clearly cast out, that is to remove, point out, examine, to judge, to correct, to censure, the mote, the speck, the toothpick out of thy brother's eye. Jesus directs us, it is our duty, our responsibility to judge sin, to examine sin, and to question and decide and correct the sin in someone else's life based on the authority of the Word of God. As believers, we're to be clean before God of any known sin in our lives before we try to adjudicate the sin in someone else's life.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, I'll close with this. Just this morning, I was talking to my wife, and she said, should we then think on the basis of being prepared to have someone criticize or to correct us, me or you, if we've done something that's out of the ordinary? I said, I would love to think that that would be the right thing if the person has the right motive. If I've said something theologically, doctrinally that's incorrect, come tell me, talk with me, allow me to try to see the truth and make corrections that I do not send someone going awry in their lives based on wrong theology and wrong doctrine.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, I'm thankful that we can talk about this today. It's my prayer today that our listeners would have gained some interest from it. This article says, Jesus wants us to discern sin in others so we can help them get rid of it.
Amen.
And I pray that's the case. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3.